is November 21st, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 134, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin. I think I'm afternoon editor and co-publisher right now, I think.
You know, we're actually going to make a little spinning wheel that you can flick and then choose a title off of that.
Sweet. All right. I'm the resident pompous person. Or I don't know. Folks, we're both tired. So this is either going to be like the best show we've ever recorded or, you know, like you're going to be going like, huh, what? So, you know, wish us luck.
I can't wait to see how it comes out.
So to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AWR@macobserver.com.
I have so missed the gunshots.
Oh, yes, the gunshots. You know what else I've missed?
Doing the podcast.
You know, it's funny you should say that, and we'll get more into that in a bit. But we should mention the haiku contest.
Yes, we should.
That we're running. And why don't you give us the details on the contest first?
All right. So the nickel rundown is: if you're planning on going to Macworld Expo at the beginning of January, and you would like to have your own Power Tools Conference Pass, which costs $925, or a User Conference Pass, which is $350, what you need to do is write a haiku and send it to us by Sunday, which is the 23rd.
Right. So if you're listening to this now, you need to write your haiku and you need to send it to us now.
Right. And so the email address you need to send that to is haiku@macobserver.com. And of course, we'll have a link to that in our show notes. So,
right. And we're recording this, as Jeff said, on the 21st of November. So again, if you're hearing this now, send it in now, unless it's after the 23rd, in which case, you know, sorry.
Hold it for a different contest.
So, you know, I wrote a little haiku for us for this to try to demonstrate what a haiku is.
I can't wait to hear it.
All right. Our listeners write, the Apple Weekly Report, monthly is better.
That is absolutely perfect. All right. All right. So, yeah, you know, I will venture to say that's actually more accurate as a haiku than the example that I wrote when we first told people about the contest, because you actually included something that vaguely resembles a season.
Yeah, maybe,
because you actually had month in there.
Maybe it should be the Apple Weekly Report. Seasonal Weekly Report is better. And so the rules of a haiku, the haiku is a Japanese form of poetry that I don't remember all the details and exactly how what is supposed to go into a haiku, but you are supposed to have three lines, the first with five syllables, the second with seven syllables, and the third with five syllables. Jeff's got more at the link that you'll find in the show notes the rules in that, don't you?
Yes, the rules are all there. The nickel rundown of the rules is: don't steal someone else's haiku and send it in, because you're not going to win. And we're going to go through the great list of haikus that have come in. We will pick the best of the best. They get the Power Tools Pass, and then the second best will get the conference pass.
Right. This is the last announcement that we're running on this. So we've already gotten a bunch of really good ones, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't send yours in.
Right, because, you know, you've had more time to think about it, so yours might be even better.
That's right. That's absolutely true. You know, and the reason, of course, the meaning of my haiku is that it's been a long time since we put out a podcast. There's been a lot going on. I'm back in the afternoon editor seat, and Jeff has been furiously. What exactly how would you properly describe what you've been doing?
Writing hell.
He's been working on a book project in cooperation, or actually working. How do you put that?
I would call it being the guy that's doing everything he can to help out to make sure Photoshop CS4, the missing manual, actually gets out the door when it's supposed to.
Right. This is Lisa King's book, and Lisa's been traveling on the Mac Mania cruise.
Right.
And, you know, and anyway, so long story short, Jeff has been writing his butt off, and we have been, all his time has been sucked up. And there was 3 days that you didn't leave your house?
12 days.
In a row?
In a row.
Oh, that's ridiculous, dude. I leave my house more yes. than that.
Okay, that's saying a lot right there.
So here we are. We're back. We're going to be back next week with another podcast, and we're going to be back right after Thanksgiving for a preview of what we expect to see at Macworld 2009. So you know we're back on track. At least I hope so. Nonetheless, we did get a couple of letters, and we'll get to that down the later in the podcast. And we have one more thing that we need to briefly deal with before we get into the news, and that would be our fantastic sponsor who's come back to us again this year.
Right. Audible.com is back,
yes,
which is great.
We like the folks at Audible. Tell me, Jeff, what is Audible?
Audible is a service where you can download audio books.
Right. So books being read by other people so that you can listen
exactly.
to them in your car or on the train.
Exactly.
Or on a plane. And there's some Dr. Seuss in there somewhere. I'm not sure, but anyway, audiobooks. A lot of people just love them. If you're one of those people, or if you want to check it out, we have a great opportunity, courtesy of them sponsoring us.
That's right. So if you go to the special link that we'll have in the show notes,
what is that link, Jeff?
That link is audiblepodcast.com/Apple Weekly.
Why? That's a special link just for us.
It is, as a matter of fact, because we are that special.
This is an exclusive offer.
It is. And, so you can choose from, what is it, like 50-some-odd thousand titles?
Yeah, you know, we did this with them a year ago. They sponsored us before Christmas a year ago, and they had 35,000 titles at the time, and now they've got 50,000 titles. So that's,
wow.
You know, if you think about how long it takes you to read a book, adding 15,000 titles in a year is pretty impressive, I think.
It is. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And so, yeah, so you can go get a free audible.com book just by going to this link. And so please do, because we all need to be burning new neural pathways, and this is a great way to do it.
Actually, technically, they've got to go to the link and they've got to sign up.
They do?
And they get
okay.
They get a free book.
All right. So I was giving them the abridged version of the instructions.
So we've got the link in the show notes. Folks, if you like Audible, you know, we've said this before about Smile on My Mac, another frequent sponsor that we have. It's so cool to have cool sponsors.
You know, it is.
And Audible.com is one of those cool companies. They're doing something that I think is really cool. So there you have it.
Well, cool.
All right, rock on. Let's do the news.
Apple gave iPhone owners an early holiday present this week with iPhone software 2.2, and the courts gave Apple its own holiday gift when it kicked SciStar in the pants and made the obvious ruling that Apple isn't a monopoly. Apple's new laptops include built-in copy protection. Intel plans to release new quad-core chips for the iMac, and one man learns the hard way to cover his iPhone tracks.
Apple released the highly anticipated iPhone software 2.2 update early on Friday morning with previously rumored features like Google Street View and the ability to download podcasts to your iPhone when you are away from your computer. Hurrah. Along with Google Street View, the Maps application now includes public transit and walking directions, which is super cool, the ability to display addresses for dropped pins, and the ability to email locations to other people. Again, hurrah. Safari stability and performance has been improved, which, for you keeping track at home, will hopefully mean that Jeff can stop complaining so much about Safari and iPhone crashes.
All right, that's where I'll throw in my hurrah.
Hurrah. And when you press the home button, when on any home screen, it will actually jump you to the first screen. So that's for folks who have multiple home screens. And users can now disable keyboard auto correction, which would be a disaster if I did that. Now, the update also improved audio quality in visual voicemail messages, and it improved phone performance for fewer dropped calls and call setup failures, and fixed issues with scheduled email checks, and improved formatting for wide HTML email messages. And who doesn't love an HTML email message?
You know, I live for them, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, the self-proclaimed yet unauthorized Mac cloner PsyStar watched its case against Apple crumble to the ground on November 18th when the court dismissed its counterclaims that Apple violated antitrust laws by prohibiting other companies from selling Mac-compatible hardware. Go figure. The ruling means PsyStar may now have to face up to Apple's suit that alleges it is violating Apple-owned trademarks and copyrights. U.S. District Court Judge William Alsup gave PsyStar 20 days to amend its claim and added, quote, plaintiff must plead its best case. Failing such a motion, all inadequately pled claims will be dismissed without further leave to amend, unquote. Now, considering that Judge Alsup called all of PsyStar's arguments, quote unquote, unenlightening, wow, it isn't likely that the company will be able to present a compelling case to the court by the deadline. Now, if it can't, PsyStar may find itself in a very weak position against Apple's claims, meaning it will be at Apple's mercy.
Apple's new MacBooks and MacBook Pros, which use the new mini DisplayPort connector and protocol, appear to include an industry standard digital copy protection system, that's HDCP, according to an Ars Technica report. The high bandwidth digital content protection technology has been in use with high definition TV systems for over a year now, and it establishes a secure encrypted connection between the source and the HDTV to prevent the theft of the HD digital content. It appears that Apple is now including that protocol on its new MacBooks that include the mini display port connector, but they didn't bother to tell anyone. And the end result is going to be that it will prevent protected DRM'd content in iTunes from playing on a non-HDCP compliant device. Now, that's bad news for those who purchase their content legitimately, or in the case of the teacher focused on by the folks at Ars, try to use legit content in a way not approved by some suits who really shouldn't be involved in the first place. But like most DRM schemes tried by big media, in the end, it will prove to be, at best, a mild annoyance to the real pirates out there.
And Intel is set to announce a Core 2 quad core processor that is optimized for all-in-one PCs, for instance, Apple's iMac. And that's according to the Taiwanese newspaper DigiTimes. There you go. The newspaper reported that Apple, along with Acer, Hewlett-Packard, and Dell, have all committed to building computers with the processors, suggesting that iMacs will soon be quad-core equipped. The optimizations will reportedly allow the quad-core processors to run at cooler temperatures suitable for an all-in-one computer, and they will use less power in the process. Now, if the reports are true, Apple would most likely be planning on releasing a quad-core iMac, and that could happen possibly as soon as January's Macworld, with a release later that month.
We will have to see. All right,
yes,
Jeff.
Yes, we will.
Say you're a dude.
Okay.
And as a dude, you naturally took some pictures of yourself, or more specifically, your naughty bits with your iPhone.
Oh, right, of course.
Sure, we've all been there, right? But what would you do when your wife asked you how a quote-unquote raunchy picture wound up in your scent box addressed to another woman? Well, if you're Susan 042764's husband, you tell her, hey, it's a known glitch where your iPhone grabs a random picture and puts it in your scent box, but it doesn't actually send it to anyone, man. Yeah, the Genius Bar people, that's what they told me, dude.
You know, we've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. And what a bad beat for him that it just happened to be a picture of his wang that was randomly picked by this so-called glitch. What a genius defense. Fortunately for Susan's husband, there was no way for her to double check on her douchebag husband's story. Oh, wait, yes, there was. It's called the internet. Susan posted about all this on the Apple support boards, which is how we knew about it. And when she did, everyone there but two other idiots who tried to claim it had happened to them let her know that there is no such known glitch. Now, she posted a follow-up post to let us know that the divorce papers are being prepared.
You can't write stories that good. They just have to happen.
They just have to happen. I tell you what, man, it's known glitch, dude. It just happens, man.
Oh. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, dude. Oh. Okay, that sound means it's time for the context machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And I just got to get right back to the naughty dude.
Oh, please do.
It's funny. It's actually interesting. A couple of people that posted on our story reached the conclusion that Susan was just a troll, and I completely reject that. I think it's a legitimate story. I think that if the so-called Susan were trolling, that she would likely have made a better story and made it, you know, embellished more. At least that's, I don't know, it's kind of what I'd do if I wanted to get a reaction out of people.
I'm thinking so. And even with what she did create, she clearly got a good reaction out of me.
Clearly. Well, you know, it's funny too. I'm the one who covered the story originally for us and mentioned that there was a couple of guys, one in particular, who, you know, said that the same problem had happened to them. And I personally theorized that was either Susan's husband or someone that knows him.
You know, either that or someone that's anticipating they might get caught at some point. Yeah, and so now they'll be able to point their soon-to-be-estranged significant other back to this post.
Exactly.
See, look, it's already happened.
It happens all the time. See, here's a dude, man. That's what the genius is. They said it's a known glitch. You know, and it's what's even better about that answer is that, you know, the geniuses don't talk about known glitches. Because, you know, Apple denies all until they're ready to fix.
That's right.
So I just found the whole thing to be funny. And, you know, if you're going to do something like that, delete the bloody pictures. And pardon the use of bloody there.
Okay, yeah, that was clearly a poor choice of words.
I happen to have that particular English phrase in my lexicon. I didn't mean to pull it out right there. I didn't mean to say that either. All right, stop. We're just going to stop this. So if you're going to do something stupid like this, delete the emails. Don't be an idiot. Now, she said another follow-up notice. It was interesting. She said that there were some texts and other things that she had found. It wasn't just this one picture. But this was the issue that she posted on Apple support boards. And I think it's really interesting that someone went to the Apple community to try to find out an answer like that.
Yeah, and some of the answers that she got were just wonderful. I think someone said, it's not a glitch with the iPhone, it's a glitch with your marriage, or something like that.
Someone else said, yeah, it's a known glitch, but only if the picture is sufficiently raunchy. There were actually some pretty clever posts over on Apple's boards. But, you know, just, I mean, yeah, you know, I suppose you got to give this guy credit for trying to come up with something. But, you know, I mean, don't.
He was creative. That's true.
Yeah, but, you know, like, easy to check, dude. Yeah, because I'm thinking she knows how to get to the Apple Store, too.
I'm thinking so. And she knew enough to know how to go and look at sent mail and text messages on his iPhone. So she has enough savvy to be able to track down answers on her own, and clearly she did.
Now, I'd like to point out, by the way, that I don't believe in going through your partner's phone and computer. If you got to do that, there's something wrong with the relationship. Now, that's just my subjective take on it.
You know, I have to agree with you. And actually, I'm betting that that Susan's estranged husband would probably wholeheartedly agree with you on that, but for completely different reasons.
Well, yeah, yeah. It this doesn't. I'm not. This is when you have to get to the point.
If you're having a trust issue, you need to address it in different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, that's enough about Susan and her douchebag husband. Let's talk about something a little more... well, let's actually go to a bunch of other douchebags, and let's talk about the Psystore story.
Okay, that sounds good. And
actually, they're not douchebags.
I can't
just not
stop
very smart.
Laughing at... Yeah, no, they're not. And, you know, I'm thinking that Psystore was really kind of grasping for straws. Anyhow, when they came up with their countersuit against Apple...
Well, you know, when they first announced that was their strategy, they seemed to be like all, you know, just all righteous about it. You know, Apple's a monopoly. Well, it's the only place you can get Macs.
Okay, well, if you were going to use that as your defense against Apple, mm-hmm. wouldn't you posture yourself publicly so that it looks like, you know, you really are believing all of this and not just... hoping
True.
To the Lords of COBOL that it'll actually come together for you.
Of course, you know, I would have talked to the attorneys before I went into this business. And preferably and hopefully an attorney smart enough to know that it's freaking ridiculous and tell me not to do it.
You know, I'm trying to figure out if... Okay, I'm not trying to figure out because in the end, I really don't care. But for now, I'll just say I was trying to figure out why in the world they would have jumped into this. And did they have an attorney advise them that it was okay and that they'd have a legal leg to stand on?
You know, and if they're going to do it, why not do it overseas where the Apple's not going to be in? You do it in a market like China where, you know,
actually,
there's very
I bet I know
IP
why.
Protection.
You know, they probably spent all their money paying an attorney to tell them what they wanted to hear, and they didn't have enough money left to get plane tickets to go to China and start making computers.
That could well be. You know, and we should probably offer a little bit of detail here. Their point was that since Apple is the only place that you can buy a Macintosh computer, therefore they are a monopoly. And, you know, I mean, that's flies in the face. There can be no proprietary standards of anything.
Right. Right. And okay, so the other part of their argument was that because Mac OS X is designed to run only on Apple-branded hardware, that Apple is unfairly locking people or blocking other companies from competing in that market.
Right. And, of course, the problem with that is that Apple itself has many competitors. Like including the what's that company called? That one they're up in Greentown.
Oh, Adobe. No, wait. No, it's that little one. They make
portals.
Yeah.
All right. We're carrying that out too long. Well, anyway, Microsoft. You know, so you got Microsoft.
Oh, that is so. Isn't what I was thinking.
Oh, I thought. I guess I was being a little bit too obtuse. Greentown, you know.
No,
Redmond,
actually,
Greentown.
That's exactly what I was thinking. But it sounded like a great line to throw in right there.
So you've got Microsoft and Windows, and you've got various versions of Linux, and you know, all of these operating systems are competing in the overall market. Yes, you can only buy Macs at Apple, but if you don't want to get an Apple Macintosh, you can go get a machine built by someone else that runs Windows, or a machine that you can even build yourself and run Linux on it. I mean, it's the most ridiculous argument to make ever. It never had a chance in hell.
No, I don't think it did. And maybe they were thinking if they threw that out there, this whole monopoly thing, that they'd be able to get Apple to settle out of court because it would cost less money.
Yeah,
and
apparently
I don't think they counted on Apple.
Anything about Apple at all?
No. Yeah, they so needed to do more research before they jumped into this game.
You know, but it seems like that they'd have to know something to have been able to do what they did, because what they did is actually pretty cool.
Well, sure. I mean, they did a really good job of creating the software they needed to be able to get Mac OS X to install on Intel-based hardware, Intel-compatible hardware that was not built by Apple.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So, you know, it's not they're certainly technically savvy, and they probably had to know at least a little bit about macOS 10 to be able to do that. And so I don't know. I don't get it. It's a bad business model. They never had a chance in hell. Never. Not even the tiniest little bit of chance. So if
no, they didn't.
Made any money now, they're probably going to lose it to Apple in the course of the suit. That's what I'm guessing.
I'm betting that they didn't make much money on the Mac clones that they were making and selling, because I have a feeling not many got out the door. But they also sell other computers. Hmm. So, yeah, whatever money they're making off of those, that's probably going to be Apple's money before too long. That's
well
my guess.
Be. It could well
and
be.
And, hey, how about those iPhone naughty picks?
No, we already did that. We got quad-core IMAX.
I know, but I just had to say it. I wanted to say it.
Oh, I'm supposed to be your straight man. Oh.
That's right. All right. There will be other ridiculous stories like that, and so there will be plenty more jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith in humanity and their ability to do incredibly stupid things for us to make fun of.
I know, isn't it nice? It's like people line up to make our job fun.
I know, and when it comes to the insanely stupid things like this, it's like there's a whole group out there waving their hands in the air going, ooh, ooh, pick me.
Indeed. Well, on a less stupid note, actually it's not at all stupid. Let's look at that DigiTime story, the quad-core IMAX.
Oh, right. And, okay, so first I think we need to point out that DigiTimes has an incredible track record for accuracy. Oh, wait, no, they don't.
Well, so DigiTimes is they're a newspaper. They're a legit print newspaper,
right,
based in Taiwan. So they've got all kinds of sources and leaks coming from all the OEM manufacturers that are based out of Taiwan and probably out of China too.
I would assume so.
Where, for instance, Apple tends to make all its iPods, iPhones, and Macs. So they end up getting information that's leaked not from Apple, but from somewhere in this manufacturing side of things. And
right. And sometimes it's not so accurate.
And sometimes it's just not so accurate. And I think that even when they're getting accurate information, it ends up not coming true. Right? Because plans change.
Right, they do.
So they're really, really hit and miss. I don't think that they're irresponsible. In other words, I don't think that they're publishing any and everything that comes their way. It's just a lot of it, you know, is coming from people that don't necessarily know the whole truth or whatever. So you've always got to have that bag of salt on hand.
Right. Okay. So in that sense, they're sort of like weathermen or weather forecasters for the technology world.
Sure.
Where they can look at the trends and the fronts that are moving through, but even though they called for rain, it still might be sunny.
Indeed. But this time I imagine they've got it right at least they might not have it right on the timing, but the details of Intel developing an all-in-one optimized quad-core processor is, you know, almost a no-brainer.
Right, and the timing seems right as well.
Mm-hmm. The timing does seem right, and let me rephrase that. I agree with you. The timing seems right, but if they're going to get something wrong in the story, it's going to end up being the timing, because what they said is it was going to be released or announced in mid-January.
Right. Okay. Now, based on Apple's track record of chip announcements that appear to be almost like surprises,
mm-hmm,
that could totally fit, because Apple could make an announcement at Macworld in January that they have this
Zentype.
Okay, so apparently I had like a hairball or allergies
or something.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so Apple could make an announcement at Macworld that they have this new chip, and then Intel could say, hey, guess what? We made this new chip, and Apple's is going to put it in their next computer. And then, yes, a few weeks later, a month later, whatever, then the iMac starts shipping with that new chip.
Right. Apple certainly has many times in the past pre-announced a machine at Macworld that's going to be shipping as much as a couple of months later.
Right. And, well, actually, they did that with the MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
the iPhone.
The iPhone, that's mm-hmm. right.
there were compelling reasons for the iPhone. It's a slightly different case because the news of the iPhone was going to come out when they submitted it to the FCC for approval.
Right.
So Steve's hand was pretty much forced on that as far as the timing goes.
Right. And, you know, and that was actually smart the way Apple handled that, because instead of letting someone else control the flow of information, they did what they do so well, mm-hmm. which is completely control how that information came out.
Mm-hmm. So the other interesting thing about this, and this is, I think, one of the biggest reasons I wanted us to talk about this, is that a quad-core iMac could well be the poster child for Snow Leopard.
I will add another component to that that would make it even more of a poster child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if Apple puts the same or an equivalent type of video processor that you have on the new laptops mm-hmm. into the quad-core iMac.
And you know
so
they
that
will.
You have the dual sets of video chips, so you can have the one set handling the video stuff and the other set running as extra processors for Snow Leopard.
Right. And let's, you know, talking about excuse me. I'm trying so hard not to burp into the microphone. You just don't even know. I'm that professional.
Well, you know, I just sneezed and about blew myself out of my chair. So,
right. So
we're all friends here now.
I guess so. So Snow Leopard, to remind our listeners, is going to be the next version of macOS 10. And it is going to be a version that focuses almost exclusively on underlying things, the kernel.
Things, that's right. So how about if I expound upon things?
Please
to
do.
Say that these things that Brian is talking about will be speed improvements, performance improvements, stability improvements.
More specifically, how to actually use all these cores that we're getting.
Right, because we have more horsepower in our computers by and large than the operating system can take advantage of.
Yeah, I've got a...
And that's what Snow Leopard changes.
Hopefully. That's the plan. Yeah. I've got an 8-core machine here, and I don't think I've ever been able to push the machine above, you know, like a steady 15-16% across the cores. That'd be like a couple of them that'll be cranking, and the rest of them will, you know, not really be doing much. And that's the whole point. Steve Jobs said it. Actually, I can't remember if it was him or if it was who's the young exec that's been up on stage with Steve recently? I keep wanting to say Rockefeller. And clearly, it's not one of the Rockefellers.
I would assume not, because
it's the young guy. Boy, we're looking stupid. We're going to have to edit this to make us look smarter.
We are. And just, I need to put a disclaimer out right now for everyone. Brian and I are completely sober right now.
Hey, Scott Forrestal, you know, Rockefeller Forrestal, whatever.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I can't remember which one, except he's the vice president of iPhone software. Boy, we stink. So one of the dudes came out, one of Apple's dudes who probably had just taken a picture of his naughty bits on his iPhone. I have no doubt. And came out and talked to us about optimization and what Snow Leopard's going to do.
I wondered where that picture came from. It's
And this was at the WWDC. And the point is that what they talked about, whoever it is that said it, we should fire ourselves immediately. Whoever it is that said it, talked about the fact that no one really knows what to do with all this processing power, all these new cores that are coming out. And, you know, you'll note, folks, we haven't seen a lot of megahertz improvements or gigahertz improvements, as the case may be, in processors in the last few years. But what we're getting now is we're getting more and more cores. And
right.
Windows can't do a whole lot with it, although actually I think that Windows probably does a little bit more with all those cores than Mac OS X does at this point. Linux is, you know, probably pretty good at some very specialized processing, you know, and with being able to
spit it out.
God.
Come on, you can do it.
You know, I used to know a lot
sing
about
it,
this
sing
stuff.
Sing it, that's okay.
Once upon a time, I knew a lot about this stuff. Anyway, Linux can probably do a better job than either Windows or Mac OS X of chopping the threads up and sending them all to the different cores for processing. But even still, it's probably going to be only on very specialized software that's you know very that's doing a very specific task. And I think what Apple's wanting to do, and I think it's just terrific, is they're wanting the whole operating system to be able to do a lot more with it, so that you know you can see all kinds of improvements by just adding cores.
That would be fantastic.
And that's what Snow Leopard's going to do, which would make a quad. This is why I said that iMac would make a great Snow Leopard poster child, because if Apple can show some kind of you know ridiculous speed improvements on this consumer quad core machine, maybe even comparing it to a Power Mac, a multi core Power Mac, or sorry, Mac Pro.
How old are you?
92.
Okay.
A multi-core Mac Pro with Leopard, 10.5 Leopard, not 10.6 Snow Leopard. You know, that'll be a great advertisement.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember? I'm Brian. I was originally talking about poster children, and I kind of went off somewhere.
That's okay. I'm along for the ride. I can't wait to see where we end up.
So anyway, the whole point is that if there have been some rumors that Apple was ready to announce Snow Leopard early at Macworld, I don't know if that's true. In many ways, I doubt that it's true. But
I doubt that it's true also. I think we're going to see a nice demonstration of the performance improvements that Snow Leopard will bring.
That is very possible. But I think that having, like, if Apple can announce a quad-core iMac, I think that they're going to make some kind of Snow Leopard-related announcement, or, as you just said, a demonstration at the very least.
Yeah, so, of course, we're only weeks away from Macworld now.
We are.
So.
And right after Thanksgiving, during the Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to do a special show where we're looking at all the things that we do expect to come out of Macworld.
Right. A very special Apple Weekly Report.
A very special Apple Weekly Report. All right. Jeff, we have already gone over the time that we thought that we were going to spend, so I would suggest that we do your very kick-butt quick tip and then say goodbye.
That sounds great. And I'm laughing only because I know us. We can't shut up.
I know.
All right. So I'm actually going to make this quick tip quick. Believe it or not. All right, so here's the deal. If you're using iCal, you can set up alarms to remind you of events. But if you're in the position I was in, where I needed to remind Brian of events, that would be you. I needed to remind Brian of events that he's not actually attached to as an attendee, but it's important that he knows about them. And okay, the deal is Brian has to show up early on certain mornings to cover for me so that I can go get acupuncture. Needles and pins. And I don't want to miss my appointment. So to make sure that Brian remembers, I set up an alarm that sends him an email. But since he's not actually part of the event, I had to use Automator to do it. So what I did was I created an Automator action that generates a new email, puts in Brian's email address, and then includes the message that I want, and then sends that email off.
And lo and behold, I am reminded.
And you are reminded. And then what I did was I went into iCal, opened up my recurring event that Brian needs to be reminded of, and set an alarm. But instead of choosing the option to make an audible sound and maybe put something on my screen telling me about the appointment, I told it to launch an application. And then I went and grabbed that Automator workflow that I built and converted into an application. And that's what runs when Brian needs to get his message. So I have it set now so that 24 hours before my appointment, iCal will run that application, which creates an email and sends it off to Brian. And it's done without me having to interact with anything. Brian gets his message, and we're all happy.
Huzzah. Now, I got 2 points.
Okay. Wait.
All right. First point is, this is a great quit tip.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good stuff as always. Secondly, to me, it's ridiculous that you should have had to use Automator to do this. More specifically, I think that Apple needs to put more time and attention into iCal and make some of these very, very basic features part of the damn program. It's wonderful that you can do what you did, but that you to do it that way for this kind of very basic thing. It's annoying.
Right. You're absolutely right. So, but you know, at least it was something that took me 15 minutes to sit down and think, so what exactly do I want to do? And then go and launch Automator, drag a couple things around, and then go and attach it to iCal, and then accidentally send you like two or three messages. And so you're thinking, holy crap, the schedule's changed.
Well, that may or may not have happened.
But it makes for a great story. All right, so now, that said, if you want to see exactly how I did this, we'll have a link to the quick tip in the show notes. And I have to add also that while I used this example of me setting up something so I could remind Brian of an appointment I have, this isn't the only way you can use this. If there are other things that you want to automate on your computer and you can set it up with Automator or AppleScript or you know, something like that, you can go ahead and set those things up, attach them to your events as alarms, and then they will run automatically for you.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. That's exactly the right response. Huzzah.
Take us out.
I think that's a great idea. All right. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And we should tell people where to find us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you want to see what's going on inside my twisted little head, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/jgamet, and that's J-G-A-M-E-T.
And you can follow my account at twitter.com/tmobrian, or at tmobrian, as we like to say. And I'll just go ahead and spell that out. It's spelled T-M-O-Brian. It's Brian with a Y. All right. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Yay, CashFly. Thank you. Bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We will see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Although, yeah, I will admit that maybe we won't see you anymore if you just listen to this particular podcast.
Yeah, okay. So thanks for not unsubscribing.
Yeah, folks. We really appreciate all the feedback and support, and we're glad to be back. Everybody have a great weekend.